Everybody, good to be with you today. I'm Tim, one of the pastors here at ACC. And over the last 5 weeks, we've been working through a series called It's Not All About Me. And the focus of this has been in our me-centered culture, where everything is really self-focused. How do we as a church look beyond that? And so we've been looking at our mission statement. And our mission statement says, by God's grace and for His glory, we are a loving community, passionate about God, compassionate to those in need, constantly pointing people to Jesus, all with extravagant generosity. And we've said throughout this whole series, we cannot survive or thrive as a church if we are going to be me-centered. We have to be selfless. We have to be Christ-focused and others concerned about others. And so today we're looking at the fourth segment in that, and which is constantly pointing people to Jesus. And we have a guest speaker with us today. His name is Jaron Thomas. He works out of our district office in Calgary, and he is the missions catalyst there. Jaron has a heart for pointing people to Jesus all over the world, and a heart for leadership development and empowerment, and a heart for strategic connecting. And I know you're going to love hearing from him today. So get your Bibles ready. And let's go to Jaron now. Hey, Jaron, good to see you today. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
I really look forward to hearing what you have to say to us. And why don't we just pray, and then I'll turn it over to you. How's that sound?
Awesome.
Okay, let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for Jaron. Thank you for his heart for you. I pray that as he speaks now that you would anoint him, and that he would speak your heart, your words to us on how we can be more effective and more passionate about seeing people come to know you, which is your great purpose. You came to seek and to save the lost, and we want to be just like you. So be with him now as he speaks. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, man, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, Pastor Tim. Thank you for the opportunity to worship the Lord together with you and the privilege to share God's word this morning. Thank you for tuning in to worship the Lord with us. Those of you who are tuning in from your homes, it's a privilege for me to come into your homes. Though we are from different countries, different backgrounds, brought up in different places, we are part of one family, and that makes us one in Jesus Christ. You could have done a lot of things this morning, but you chose to be here, and I believe the Spirit of the Lord will accomplish His work among us. I bring greetings from our district superintendent, Reverend Brent Trask, and the entire district leadership. We are a family of 140 congregations spread all across Alberta and Northern Territories. Aren't you happy to be part of a movement that God started 130 years back, which is still burning bright and impacting the globe for Jesus? I want to thank Pastor Tim and his entire leadership team for the sacrificial ministry during this profoundly challenging season. We appreciate your resilience in the midst of challenges and your sincere commitment to God's mission. Thank you for your prayers and your support to our international workers spread all around the world, especially Kelly Dyer and Jenna, who are closely connected with you. We're also grateful to each one of you for your sacrificial giving to our Global Advance Fund, which is helping our international workers to continue engage in the mission they are called to. May the Lord richly bless each one of you. For the last 3 weeks, we have been looking into our mission statement, which says, by God's grace and for His glory, we are a loving community who are passionate about God, compassionate to those in need, constantly pointing people to Jesus, with irrational generosity. Yes, it's not all about me. Today, we are looking at the importance of being selfless in constantly pointing people to Jesus. During the last 3 weeks, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to each one of us personally and powerfully. I believe He will do the same today. So let's sit with an expectant heart. Let's look to the Lord in prayer before we look into His Word. O God, with all of our hearts, we long for You. Come. Transform us to be Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, mission-focused people, multiplying disciples everywhere. Lord, we pray that You stir our hearts this morning to understand Your purposes upon each one of our lives. Empower us to partner with You in pointing others to You. If any one of us are feeling tired, weak, exhausted, please come and revive us. May we never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Did you know that Christianity came to India in AD 52? As you already heard, my last name is Thomas. So Thomas, my name Thomas is after the disciple of Jesus, Thomas, who came to India, who brought the good news of Jesus Christ first to India. He came to the state in which I was born. Tradition and family history says my forefathers became Christians in the first century through the ministry of Thomas. Later, Apostle Thomas was speared to death by anti-Christians. But as years passed by, these Christians became a very close community, inward-looking and not pointing Jesus to their fellow brothers and sisters. As a result, Christianity did not grow in India. Things began to change with the arrival of William Carey, who is known as the father of modern missions. He learned the language and culture of India and started to point people to Jesus through Bible translation, schools, hospitals, and other reforms. The beginning of 20th century witnessed great revivals through the Pentecostal movement, and many South Indians began to move to North India as missionaries. Though Christians are still under 5%, hundreds and thousands are coming to the Lord every day. Churches are exponentially growing in the midst of persecutions. Last night, I saw the burial of a teenage missionary boy who was actively involved in pointing others to Jesus. Anti-Christians attacked him by pouring acid on him a few days before he died of burn injuries. Many are coming to the Lord because God is raising ordinary people to point others to Jesus. What does pointing to Jesus look like? Or simply, what does a life on mission look like? To answer this question, I'm going to portray before you a man who was on mission, constantly pointing people to Jesus till his last breath. Please turn our attention to Romans. Yes, the book of Romans. We have been in Romans for the last few weeks, and today's passage is found in Romans chapter 15, verses 17 to 22. Romans chapter 15, verses 17 through 22. From the scriptures, we understand that Apostle Paul is someone who sold his life to point others to Jesus. Here in verse 20, he is sharing a godly ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known. Verse 20 through 22 says, "It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Rather, as it is written, those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. This is why I have often been hindered from coming to you." This is the heartbeat of an evangelist, the heartbeat of a missionary. One who wants to point people to Jesus who have never experienced him. Our founder, CNMA founder A.B. Simpson, said that Christian Missionary Alliance aims to reach the most neglected fields, to avoid the beaten tracks of other laborers, to press on to the regions beyond, and instead of building upon another man's foundation, to preach the gospel where Christ has not been named. This has been the burning passion of Alliance from the very beginning. Let me ask each one of us, what is our heartbeat? Is our heart burning for the people who have never heard the gospel? Some of us can say, "I'm not Apostle Paul. I'm not called to be a pioneer missionary. I cannot go and live on the other side of the globe." Yes, all of us are not called to go and live the life of a pioneer missionary. But all of us are called to point people to Jesus wherever we are. Some of us may be wondering if we have what it takes to point others to Jesus. Oh, we have so many excuses, our inadequacies and limitations. Verses 17 through 19, Apostle Paul is giving us three aspects of his ministry that enabled him to fulfill his godly ambition of reaching the unreached. What does it take to constantly point people to Jesus? What enabled Apostle Paul to be an apostle to the Gentiles? Since every believer in Christ is called to point others to Jesus, these three important aspects from the life of Paul are applicable to us. First, we need to be Christ-centered. In verse 17, Apostle Paul says, "Therefore I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done." Therefore, in Christ Jesus, he took the pride. Here, Paul is acknowledging that he has done not in his strength, but in the strength of Jesus Christ. He refuses to boast in his own achievement, but in what God has done through him. It is through his union with Jesus Christ that he was able to minister to others. Verse 18 continues to say, "It was Christ who was leading the Gentiles to obey God. The mission was Christ, and the fruit was also Christ." Paul was simply an instrument in the hands of Jesus. Yes, Christ was a force that produced the results. Those results are leading the Gentiles to obey God by what is said and done, literally in words and deeds of Apostle Paul. If we are serious about pointing others to Jesus, we need to be Christ-centered. Our dependence on him and in his strength. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ lives in me. Death to self and life in Christ. Oh, this is so fundamental to us as people in Alliance. The more I die, the more Christ lives in me. Apostle John says, "May I decrease and may he increase." The more Jaron is invisible, the more people can see Christ in and through me. Is your life Christ-centered? Let our ministry simply be an outflow of our union with Jesus. Apart from him, we can do nothing. At the same time, with him, nothing is impossible. Secondly, Apostle Paul is saying we need to be Spirit-empowered. Verse 19, second part, Paul says, "It is by the power of signs and wonders, through the power of the Spirit of God." Paul himself believed that signs and wonders were among the marks of a true apostle. Paul also says that what Christ shaped through him was effected through the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus in Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses." Paul himself was very conscious that it was the power of the Holy Spirit that made his own ministry effective. It is told that the change in the life of D.L. Moody came when he went to a meeting and heard the preacher say, "If only one man would give himself entirely and without reserve to the Holy Spirit, what that Spirit might do with him." And as he heard this statement, Moody said to himself, why should I not be that man? And all the world knows what the Spirit of God did with D.L. Moody. It is when we stop thinking of what we can do with our strength, and when we begin to think what God can do with us, things begin to happen. If we really want to see dead people come to life, it has to be the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. How many of you would long for more of his Spirit to point people to Jesus? Maybe our prayer should be flipped. Holy Spirit should have more of me to accomplish his plans and purposes through us. Let him have more of us. Yes, it is through the power of the Holy Spirit that we can point others to Jesus. Finally, we need to be mission focused. Verse 19, second part says, "So from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed gospel of Christ." I have fully proclaimed gospel of Christ literally would mean I have brought to completion the gospel. In which case, Paul might mean the preaching of the gospel began with other apostles in Jerusalem and continued in other places. and brought to a completion by carrying it all the way to Illyricum. Of course, fully preaching the gospel in this whole region does not mean that he had proclaimed the gospel to every person in that city. But in major centers along the way, he proclaimed Jesus Christ. It clearly says how focused he was for God's mission. It was Bob Pierce, founder of World Vision, who prayed, "Let my heart be broken with things that break God's heart." What breaks your heart today? Is it all about me? Is it all about us and our family? The Spirit of the Lord is reminding us again and again that it is not all about me. Oh, I pray that our hearts would be broken for the things that break God's heart. God's heart is broken for the nations that are in our backyard. Yes, nations. Not geopolitical nations, but people groups. People groups who are in Canada or who are coming to Canada. Stats and numbers say by 2023, Canada aims to welcome more than 1.23 million new permanent residents. By 2031, it is estimated half of Canadians will be a first-generation immigrant or have at least one parent who is. The face of Canada is changing, if it has not already changed. Oh, your streets, your neighborhood, all going to look very different. By 2036, it is estimated one-third of Canadians will speak neither English nor French as their primary language. Canada is our mission field. If you didn't know, right now, over 165 unreached people groups call Canada home. They are here. What this means is that 165 plus nations and people groups once inaccessible to the gospel are now here, waiting for us, living among us, in our cities and neighborhood. Perhaps just across the street, over the fence from where you are right now sitting and watching this. They are there, out there. Nearly 90% of non-Christians say they have never had a personal relationship with a Christian or never personally knew a Christian. 90% of non-Christians. Can you imagine what would have happened if they knew a Christian personally? While it is important and essential for us to reach the nations here in Canada, it is equally important to point people outside of Canada to Jesus. The need is enormous. Many times we can get lost in the awesomeness of the task. Out of the 7.8 billion people alive in the world today, 3.23 billion of them live in unreached people groups with little or no access to the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are approximately 17,446 unique people groups in the world, with over 7,400 of them considered unreached. That means they have never heard the name Jesus. That is 41% of the world population. Can you believe that? There are people who will never come here. Yes, we know people are going to come here to Canada. This place is going to be flooded. Yes, COVID has put a pause, but this pause is not going to be forever. Canada will open its borders and people will come. But not all of them are going to come here. So it is important to reach the diaspora community here. But we need to know that there are billions out there. Numbers say that 1.8 billion Muslims in the world today, and maybe less than 5% come to the West. So 5% of 1.8 is a lot of people. A majority of them are out there, and they would never come here. So it is important to go as well. Yes, it is important to reach the nations in our neighborhood. It is also important to go, because Jesus said you need to go. Oh, the needs are enormous before us. I know the Spirit of the Lord is quickening your hearts. If you sense a calling from the Lord, surrender your life before Him. Yes, as children of God, we are all called to point people to Jesus. We're going to watch a video together on the South Asia.
The following may seem outrageous, but trust me, it's an underestimation. I want you to stop, clear your mind, and be open to a reality happening right now that might be new to you. The global population growth is outpacing the rate at which the church is reaching people by a growing margin. As an example, India alone grows by the equivalent of Canada's population every 18 months, and only 5% of India lives in areas reached with the gospel. Roughly 4 out of every 10 people on the planet not only have never heard the good news, but they don't even have access to it. There's no local pastor, no Christian radio, no alpha group, no church. It's like Paul writes to the church in Rome. How can someone believe in something they've never heard? And how will they hear if there's no one to tell them? So now what? I get it. You're already tackling so many critical needs in your community and around the world. Compassion cannot sleep. But we have an opportunity to reach the unreached at scale if together we focus on what could be the biggest domino. The one region that may present the greatest opportunity of being a gateway to reach the entire world. It comes down to the exponential power of numbers. 1 out of every 4 people alive right now live in South Asia. That's 1.9 billion people and over 1.8 billion unreached lives. That's a big number to wrap your head around, so let me just put it this way. If you set a timer right now for 1.8 million seconds, it would stop in 20 days. But if you set it for 1.8 billion seconds, it will stop in 57 years. Reaching just 1% of this region would be the equivalent of reaching more than the entire population of Hong Kong, New Zealand, Montreal, and Ireland combined. 50% of the world's remaining unreached people groups live in this region, along with 40% of the world's poorest people. And it's also one of the most persecuted places on the planet. The church in the global south, specifically South Asia, will play a disproportionate role in the evangelization of the world. Will we join them, support them, encourage them? Reaching this region is a massive gateway to reaching the world and a critical priority of the global church. It will require us to be all in. It will demand full-scale mobilization of our churches and communities. It will require a historic move of God's Spirit. It will come at a cost, but it will be worth it. And over the next 10 years, we are partnering with South Asians, not just to reach South Asia, but for South Asia to reach the world. It is well within reach to plant 50,000 churches, baptizing 500,000 multiplying disciples, making this one of the greatest evangelistic movements that we may ever see by 2030.
Yes, this is a very compelling video. It disturbs our heart. And there's a lot of opportunities where we can partner in reaching South Asians. And that includes my nation, India. India is a very complex country. It has over 1,400 languages. The language that I speak, my mother tongue, is not spoken in any other states in India. But we have partners. Indigenous churches are exploding in northern part of India. You may never go to India, but there is an opportunity for you to reach Indians while you're sitting right in your living room. We partner with Power to Change Digital Mentoring Program, where you can sit here, contact and connect with somebody who comes to your inbox with a need, maybe with depression or loneliness or struggles in life. And these people are channelized through Power to Change, and you as a mentor sitting here can bring the gospel to them. Oh, there's a lot of opportunities where we can partner. Let's surrender our lives before the Lord. And I was amazed to find how our passage today is a perfect foundation for our national vision prayer. Yes, we are talking about Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, and mission-focused people, multiplying disciples everywhere. Let me close with this prayer. O God, with all of our hearts, we long for you. come transform us to be Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, mission-focused people multiplying disciples here, there, and everywhere. Thank you for ministering to your people. May your blessings be upon them, especially those of us who have taken a new decision in our hearts to point people to Jesus, empower them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.